What's going on? Welcome to CFTV Live. Hey, Jeff.
Sup?
We're brought to you, of course, by our friends at Agrigold. They know corn. All right? They know corn. Excited to be there with it's harvest season.
It is harvest season.
Probably see a lot of Agrigold customers out in the fields.
And you can, it's funny when you drive by, you know, being in Iowa, you drive by a cornfield. No matter where you work, you drive by a cornfield on your way to work. And it's funny to see, like, some of them getting already harvested and all of a sudden, 2 days later, you go, wait a second, there's nothing there anymore.
Yeah,
it's already,
I know.
It's taken down.
It's like we built all that build up for nothing.
For like
not for nothing.
No, it's very
but
much
like you watch everything grow and everything.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing, actually. We are going to, if you're watching us on video, hello. If you're listening to the podcast afterwards, hopefully you understand what's going on here. We're going to do a pretty extensive breakdown of this Iowa State-Texas tape from Saturday, and from Thursday. From Thursday, that would be.
From Thursday.
Jeff, you were pretty fired up in the press box.
I was not pleased.
I actually had to calm you down.
Yeah, I was not.
You were getting too loud in the press box.
Which, and it wasn't necessarily even that I was like shouting. I was just, what are you doing? Well, come on. And that was a combination of things. And I think I'm not the only one that is in Cardinal and Gold in the stands and the out in TV land or in the coaching box that's going, what are you doing? I'm not the only one that was doing that because there was a lot of not good that was going around. Now, the flip side of that, we're not going to break down too much because the defense played really well, but we're not going to go through like the defense playing really well because good play is less fun to go over on film because it's just good defensive play that doesn't end up in interception. It's just like, oh, that guy was...
Well, let's start there, though.
It looks like where we're supposed to be.
Let's start with some positive, though. That was a really nice performance by the Iowa State defense.
That was. And I think, and this is one thing I wrote for the Register, was Kamari being back makes an immense difference.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I tried to find some statistics that prove it, but you can tell when he's on the field and when he's not. Like, again, to even the microcosm that I got, in the Iowa game, Kamari was in for the first half, gave up 14 points. Kamari was out for the second half, gave up 30 points. I mean, point blank, plain and simple, that doesn't happen by chance.
No, you're right.
And so because of him being present, even though he's got that, you know, Mega Man arm brace on, one of the things that he does really well is, one, he's really physical. He's a great tackler. So no matter what pops through the first and second level of his defense, he's going to get it to the ground, which is what a safety needs to do. It's literally called a safety. It's the last guy of defense. And the other thing that he does is everybody's going to be properly aligned. If you want to just have some fun, watch number 5 on Saturdays just gesturing to move people around. And because
playing quarterback
on defense and in the secondary. And what doesn't seem like something that's too bad, well, if a guy is lined up, say he's the split between the wide receivers is normally 6 yards, and all of a sudden they're at 4 yards. To the untrained eye, someone sitting in section B14, if they're up there, that looks like, oh, they're just in trips. Well, to Kamari on the field, who's known, has seen enough football, has seen enough of Texas, has watched enough film, has enough instinct to say they're tighter. That means the playbook has gone from this to this because of their alignment. I know exactly within, because of this alignment, they only run 4 plays out of this alignment. And then they take 3 steps off the ball, and that cuts the plays down to this. So by the time he gets off, you know, they're 2 steps into the route, he knows by alignment and by their first steps exactly what's going to happen. So he's able to put himself in a really good position. So one, he's a good physical player. He's strong, he's athletic, he's tough.
Yep.
But he's also really smart, and he's able to get himself in the right spot, which makes the big play a lot less frequent when you have a safety like that that's getting people in the right spot.
A couple other thoughts that I had on Iowa State's defensive performance before we really go to the board and take a look at
number 7's another one.
What happened? Who is number
Joel Lanning.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was thinking Willie Harvey. I got mixed up there. He had to switch his number. Yeah, he had 20 tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Really good performance for Joel Lanning, the best of his career.
Mm-hmm.
What I kind of took from it was the fact that the 3 leading tacklers on the team were all linebackers.
Which is exactly what you want.
Yeah, because that means your defensive line's taking care of business up front. There's not a lot of getting to that other level.
Exactly. And they were playing a three down front for 70% of the game, 3 down.
So I don't want to be too negative here, but like, did Iowa State's defense play that well, or is Texas's offense just bad?
Both. Texas' offense isn't where it needs to be. They don't have as much of a running threat. But
they're not very good.
In the same respect, the fact that Texas was not able, and Shane Bichelle is a pretty, he's a, at minimum an adequate quarterback. And with his ability to move around, and a lot of times when they would only rush three, yes, you're going to not get as much pressure as you want. They got less pressure a lot of times than they would desire. But when you're rushing three and dropping eight, you're going to give him time. And a lot of times that ended up being a fruitless endeavor, and which is a really good aspect. If your secondary and second level defense can stay in coverage for that long, it's just a testament to how well you're playing. Now, again, is it the best that we're going to see them? Hopefully not. Is it the best offense we're going to see? Definitely not.
No.
But in the fact that they played actually really well and letting their middle linebacker score or accumulate 20 tackles is exactly what a defense should do. Is that middle linebacker should be the tackling guy. And no matter what you're doing, if that guy's leading your tackler, is your leading tackler, as opposed to a safety or an outside linebacker, that's going to be your best option. It's going to kind of be the stat point that shows you did a good job.
Let's just dig into the offense, shall we? Let's jump right up there.
If we have to.
Yeah, Jeff Woody here is going to give us a little film breakdown of the...
I'm going to go Bob Barker with my microphone.
Woody's holding the stick here today, CFTV Live. Okay, so you're just going to kind of walk me through, and then what I want to do here, I want to be a casual fan.
Okay.
And I'm going to challenge you on a lot of this stuff, all right?
Cool. I'm going to move this around because I might pop back and forth between whiteboard and...
But you can't bump the camera while you do it, Jeff.
I'm sorry. I'm the talent. I am not the producer.
That's Jared Stansberry today.
Okay. The first thing we're going to go over is a lot of people were kind of complaining about why you didn't run the ball on this third and one call. This is the very first third and one, the very first part of the game.
Can I go more of a broad question?
Sure.
Why didn't they run the ball more in general?
That is a terrific question. And so the issue that they had, and we'll get into it later, is Texas wanted Iowa State to not run because they don't – I mean, clearly, you watch film. Who sticks out on film?
David Montgomery.
That dude right there.
Yeah.
And that guy's the one that you want to keep away from the ball as much as you possibly can. So what Texas did is they presented a lot of fronts that – like I said, we're going to get to in a second. Let's even use this as an example. They're going to get to a lot of fronts that the numbers – say you should probably throw the ball here, because like I was saying in I don't know how many group chats that I'm in with people during the game, is offense isn't hard. Offense is math. So you're going to total up how many people. Again, we talk about the box and what the box is. The box is basically if the outside guy who's a down hand. So let's include the tight end in this. So let's go draw a line to about 7 yards all the way across. About 7 yards. So Texas has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the box, and then one is a slight overhang, but he's more concerned with the player. So it's these seven dudes that are going to basically be playing the run. Everybody else is going to be playing pass or is more oriented towards pass because he can't just bail because this guy's wide open. He can't just bail because this guy's wide open. So their primary responsibility is making sure that these guys are covered. Again, we're not – obviously, this guy's on an island up top. So I've got seven guys in the box. I've got five linemen and a tight end. So that's six and seven players to run. That's 1-to-1. That's not great odds. You want to have an advantage. So this isn't a great run front. It's not a terrible run front because what they actually end up calling is a run play. And so why they didn't run the ball more is because Texas gave them fronts like this. Is they wanted them. And so when you listen to the call-in show or whatever, listen to Campbell talk, is they weren't as consistent as they wanted to be, which is true. So there's a couple things that go into this. Is one, sometimes when you have a bad box, run into it anyway. You're gonna have to make sure that you still get a one-on-one opportunity. Two is sometimes you just have to execute the thing you're trying to do with this bad box. So like say I wanted to actually throw the ball, which is okay. I'll dive into this play here and then I'll finish that thought. So what this play ends up actually being is, like I said, they called a run play on third and one. What this is this every lineman is going to step down. They're going to motion chase down across. Okay, go ahead.
Quick question. The splits I noticed all night were the line was in very tight.
Okay.
What was the reasoning for that? You can see it right there. I mean, I think that's a really good example of it.
Which could be a couple things. Depending, maybe they wanted to condense this front. Maybe they wanted to not give Puna as much space to
Puna Ford.
Puna Ford's a really good defensive tackle.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Is if you're going to stand, if you're going to put someone right here, there's less space for a D tackle to work in because he's going to run into another human being. He just can't get through there.
Okay.
So one option is in pass protection, you can just limit the amount of interior space that a guy has to work with. And two is you're going to crunch the front down, bringing a lot more space for these guys.
Okay.
So if you bring If you're in 1 foot each time, then all of a sudden that's like 2 yards tighter by the time you get all the way across the line, which means whatever technique that lineman is playing is going to have to squish in.
Okay.
So it gives more space. So anyway.
Sorry.
They called a run play on this down. So a lot of people are going, why didn't you give 32 the ball? This is what's a true read option. And so I don't know if I can make it all the way to the board. If this camera, did I mess this up too bad?
You're fine.
Okay, I was going to say this one.
You're fine.
Okay. So this is what the front actually looks like, is you've got two guys. Let's go here. You've got two guys in the box, and there's essentially five down. You got a tight end right here. So this is the setup that they've got. So right now, this is how they're lined up. What happens is the tight end ends up working across the formation. Then they're going to motion Trevor Ryan to here. So play that on the screen and freeze at that point. So we're going to get to this. And what happens is they're going to take, and everybody's going to block this way. It's a full zone. And what a zone means is zone is everyone just steps in one direction. So they're going to block the guy to their inside, to their left. So we're blocking this way. Everyone's going to block this direction. So what actually ends up happening is there's two guys that are aligned outside the tackle.
Yep.
So this, we're going to end up in this position. So you have a tight end. There's two guys out here. They're deliberately leaving two guys outside. So what they're going to do is they're going to block this one. And what they do is they called reading this one. So this guy right here, this Mike linebacker, if he decides to play straight up the field, I'm going to give the ball to my running back because there's no one there. If he plays towards me, what I'm going to do is one of two things. Either I'm going to fake the handoff and I'm going to run it myself as a quarterback, or I'm going to do what's called a run pass option and I'm going to throw out of it. Now, this whole thing, I'm going to guess, is Jacob Park has the go-ahead at any point to just throw this because they like Alan Lazard in a one-on-one. Right now, that's not a great look because if he has the right at any point to just throw the ball, we're leaving an unblocked guy. This guy is not blocked. If at any point he just decides to pick up and throw, David Montgomery's not going to pick him up because he's responsible for a run play. He's going to do this. If Park just decides to up and throw, which it looks like he does here, if he decides to up and throw, he's unprotected. He's going to get hit in the face. So his decision is wrong from the start. It's because he's got to read this.
So this is on the quarterback.
This is on the quarterback.
This play being blown up is all Jacob Park.
This is Jacob Park. It's a bad read. And so if this guy decides, say this guy, we were going to block him, and we could do that, then sure, you can play one-on-one games all the time because you've got a body for a body. You at least have 2 seconds to throw. But we didn't do that. It's a design read play. So he's got to do one of two things. Either run it himself or throw it the instant he catches the ball. Because if he decides to hold on to it, he's going to take a sack. There is no chance for him to get rid of the ball. So we watch this right now. This is that overhang guy. So the overhang player, Chase Allen, is walking down because, again, there's two guys outside the tackle. We're washing this guy down. If we're going to give the ball, it's going to be right off of Chase Allen's butt. And David Montgomery just plows ahead for 1 yard. What they're doing up here is if he does decide that he wants to protect it, Trevor Ryan is running a clear out, and Alan Lazard is coming right off his butt as sort of a pseudo pick play, and he's going to try and hit him right now. So run it for a little bit and freeze. Okay, right there. Alan Lazard's coming out of his break. That ball has to be gone. Right now, he has already screwed himself over because, again, we have a play-action fake, and you know you can tell it's a run play rather than a play-action pass because they're down the field.
Yeah.
If it's a play-action pass, these guys will go straight down the line. They're running the ball. This is a run-pass option. So he decided that he wanted to throw it. He's got to get rid of that ball right now because, like I said, there is an unblocked defender running straight at his face. So why didn't they run a run play? They did.
They did.
They did. Would it be a penalty?
Yeah.
No, because run that back. Run that back for a second to like right here. Okay, and play, freeze. That's where the ball should come out. It's catch, throw. And if that ball comes out, you have 2 yards from the line of scrimmage, which is 1-2.
Is this a new thing you've seen from Park, or is he usually better at this?
Well, it's not necessarily a new thing we've seen from Park. I think he just got a little panicked in the moment because he wanted to win this one-on-one with Allen, and he didn't like the look through this guy's chest. So it was just one misread. It was he should have given this ball and trusted that David Montgomery's going to drag that guy for 2 yards.
So, I mean, what I'm putting together, now this is clearly just one play. But, I mean, a lot of times fans screaming, why don't you run the ball? Well, sometimes they're intending to run the ball.
This was a designed run play.
Did this happen more than once in this game?
No, I didn't watch every single play. I haven't watched it back again.
Yeah.
I just watched the one time live and then highlights from there. So this, I'm assuming, happened more frequently than we were giving credence to. But it also probably sometimes if a guy is making bad reads, so like if you're making, say someone's making bad judgments, take the capacity for judgment away from them and make it a designed run or a designed throw. Because if the reads aren't happening, so a metaphor that I like to use, so like think of them when you say, why doesn't he just make good decisions? He was frustrated, legitimately frustrated.
I think, and that was part of my disappointment, Jeff, and the entire offense on Thursday night. It wasn't even the output per se, because Texas's defense is pretty good, and I've formulated the USC stats. You know, Sam Darnold wasn't very good against them. They didn't run the ball against them. I thought Park was a little bit mentally stronger. It looked like he got frazzled, and it looked like he didn't have any clue the types of coverages that Texas was going to give him, and also blitzes. And I found myself after the game going, was he not prepared?
I don't think it's prepared. I think he legitimately just got frustrated.
Okay.
Like, think of it like this way. You buy a hutch from IKEA, and you have to assemble it yourself. It's 11:45 at night.
How about we buy it at Nebraska Furniture Mart?
Theirs are probably much easier to assemble.
Yeah, there you go.
IKEA. So, you're buying whatever, and you have to assemble it yourself. It's 11:45 at night, and you can't get this damn screw to fit in a stupid spot.
Yeah.
And then your wife comes in and goes, "Turn the screwdriver around," and you go,
Yeah. I'm digging what you're saying.
You're so locked in laser focused because you're pissed off.
Yeah.
That you're forgetting what else you read. So he wasn't not prepared. He just got frustrated, which happens. It's not ideal, but it happens.
Is that his inexperience?
It could be.
This was his sixth start.
So it could be that he's frustrated. And again, this speaks to the fact that he should have allowed himself to calm down. But he also, from the coaching perspective, you got to know that your kid's frustrated. And I don't know if they were just trying to let him play through it, or if they said, we're going to teach you, you're going to have to learn a lesson through this. One of those two things happened. In what I would have liked to see is, this guy wasn't frustrated, is if he's pissed off and not making the right proper reads, is one, simplify the reads, and two, just take it out of his hands. Give it to number 32, even if it's not super, super effective. So let's go to the last interception. For the sake of doing it, I think that was the run it back. The last pick, right? Okay, so it's a 2nd and 10. And so when I say take it out of the quarterback's hands, what happened is he was getting frustrated and he was starting to lose his mechanics because he was trying to lose his mechanics. This isn't an ideal run front, but you can do this. So here, right now, again, we've got 5 linemen, 1 tight end, 1 running back, 1 quarterback. There's 8 guys inside of this space, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 technically inside the box for Texas. Now, these guys are overhang players. These two here are responsible.
Jeff, run it through really quick, because you say technically inside the box. Okay. We hear a lot of people go, they're bringing 9 in the box. Like, what is the box?
Okay, so we'll do it on the whiteboard, because it's a little easier to describe.
Okay. I mean, I think I know what it is, but you just said technically, and that makes me question it. Because, yeah, I guess when I would look at that, I would think that they got 7 in the box.
One high? Yep. Okay, so we got this. There's 1 overhang. We got 2 wide receivers. 1 overhang's over here. 2 high. Okay, so this is what their front looks like. See, the safeties are out of the picture right now. They're up here. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Now, when we're doing this, they're playing like that. So what this is, so the box, so like I was saying, is you take the last down hand. So this is a tight end. Your right side. So you take the last down hand. What that means is literally the last hand that would be on the ground. Since now tackles are sometimes in a stand-up stance, it's either the tackle or the tight end, last man in the line of scrimmage inside. So that's this. So I do this and draw a line right there. That's the outside of the box.
Oh, okay.
The offensive box, you draw 7 yards back like this.
Yeah, I'm talking more defense.
That's your box. And the defensive box, you do the same thing, go 7 yards this way.
Okay.
So
I get you now.
That's the box. So what Texas has here is they've got a 5-man box. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Now the issue is this guy is an overhang player. So his first, he doesn't actually have.
Yeah, he's the
this guy here.
Guy I was checking out there. Yeah,
that's what's called an overhang. So he doesn't have a pass responsibility. So like I was saying over here is this guy, this guy's first responsibility, he can't just flat out play the run, because if this guy runs somewhere, he doesn't have any help. So this guy on the top, these two are pass players. Yes, they have run fits, but they can't just flat out play the run right now. This guy can. So his first responsibility is run. His second responsibility is anything out of the backfield. So if it's a pass play, he's going to pick up David Montgomery coming out of the backfield, or if the tight end comes back across. His job is first man out of the backfield. So the reason why I say it's technically a five-man box, but kind of, sort of a seven-man box, is because when we talk about gaps, there's in between the center and the guard is an A, there's a B, and there's a C. So there's gaps. That's what the offense is, or the defense is trying to fit, because if I get a guy in between each one of those spots, then I'm going to be protected. So what they're going to probably fit this like is A, B, C, A, B, C. So this guy outside the box is technically a box player. So it's like a five-ish box because this guy's a run player.
Okay.
Still, let's do math, because again, offense is not complex. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 technical or capable ball carriers and a quarterback. So if I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys, I've got extra numbers. This is what, when I was saying the frustration of that I had in the box was, you're getting okay run looks. This isn't ideal, because obviously this guy's really good, and that's Malik Jefferson. He's really good too. So you're not going to be able to move them all the way, but what you can do is, like we saw before, is just mash everything down. Is you can down block everything, take the tackle. Again, this is going to be a four technique. Take one of these two guys up to a linebacker, take your tight end up to the other one. You have essentially, if you run zone, you're going to be able to run zone off the backside and block everybody away from this person. You can do stuff like that. And that's what the Montgomery run was. It was, granted, it was only 2 yards, but it was something like this. Is you have a five-man, five-and-a-half-man box that you can actually run to. 32 can make someone miss if it's not perfect. So when I was saying take it out of a frustrated quarterback's hands, it's an okay run look. It's not great, because this guy's going to play up, and this guy's going to be what's called a D-gap player. So it's going to be between – it's going to be this alley here. So you have a C-gap player and a D-gap player. It's not perfect, but it's an okay look to run against, and they only ran the ball twice in the second half. What happens, play it forward a little bit, and freeze. Okay, so this guy, this turns into some type of zone coverage behind it. So they rushed three, they dropped four, or excuse me, dropped five. Excuse me, goodness. What Jacob Park ended up doing, so run it forward, and stop.
Should have hit the tight end.
Yes, but the guy he was trying to throw it to is not super covered. Play it forward a little bit, just see where he's at. Time?
Oh, okay. Never mind. I didn't see him. He was off screen.
That's a fine read. Run it back to, let's say, 2 seconds sooner. It's like right there. Okay? Watch a little farther, a little farther, a little farther, a little farther. When a quarterback steps to throw, the foot that should lead is your off foot. So you're supposed to step this way. It's like a baseball pitcher. A right-footed pitcher is going to have their right foot on the rubber, because their left foot is going to lead every time. Jacob Park's mechanics, play this forward a little bit, because he was getting scared, freeze.
Oh, yeah.
That's his right leg. So when he was letting his mechanics go, and if he's supposed to throw this way, what happened is he started running in the pocket and just chucked it like that.
So is that why he was sailing guys all night?
That's why he was sailing everything.
Okay.
Because his mechanics started to go. Because he's frustrated. He wants to get, damn it, I'm going to get the ball to Hakeem. He's open. Damn it, I'm throwing it.
Yeah.
So it's not that they're necessarily bad plays, but Jacob Park was getting frustrated.
He sails this one?
He sails this one. It sails high, hits the middle safety, gets picked off. It's not necessarily, like I said, it's not necessarily that it's bad, super bad play calling in its own right.
So do you feel better about the play calling after watching some tape?
A little bit, but still, if you've got a pissed off guy, take his, at least for a little bit, take the load off his shoulders, because you're getting okay run looks. Give it to David Montgomery. Let Jacob Park settle down for a second. Let him know that the offense can move without him doing everything. Because I think part of the frustration is that I'm letting my guys down by not doing a good job. And then you're thinking of doing a good job, and because you're thinking of doing a good job, you don't do a good job. It's a whole pink elephant thing. If I say the word pink elephant and say don't think of a pink elephant, you're going to think of a pink elephant. The more you think of not doing a good job, the worse of a job you're going to do.
Pink elephant.
Pink elephant. Go one more. So we'll find a good play, at least. And this is the stuff that when you listen to Coach Campbell, what Coach Campbell was trying to say was, we had chances and we had good looks. We just didn't do enough of it consistently. So let's go to the touchdown. And this, I think you can attest to this, is I was calling for this as they were in this formation. I was sitting next to both of you guys, and I said, throw it to Matt Eaton. Throw it to Matt Eaton. Throw it to Matt Eaton. because, again, we've got, it's third and 10. So we know there's a low likelihood we're going to run the ball. So we know that this is probably a pass set. One of the things you'll also notice is that these, in the previous ones, I'll go to the whiteboard. In the previous ones, the offense or the defensive ends or the defensive linemen were in what are called four techniques. So it's tighter. They're playing here, inside the tackles. They're playing off, like if you were to look at, you don't have to pull it up, but they were playing inside the tackles because it's a run look. They wanted to stuff everything and force everything out to these spill players. What on this play, they know it's a pass. This is much better leverage for a pass. So what does that mean for a quarterback? This is a good job by Jacob Park. So what does this mean? This guy's likely not going to duck underneath, so your pressure is probably not going to come from the middle. Your pressure is probably going to come from outside, so you know you're likely going to be feeling this and having to do this. Instead of bailing, you're going to step forward in the pocket. So play this forward before you actually take the back. Freeze it. The reason why you're saying throw it to number two, this is, they've got two high safeties in the middle of the field. It looks like you're going to get some type of blitz look somewhere because these guys are really close. This guy's playing inside leverage of a 6'4" wide receiver. Right now, this guy's playing a low, tight technique. So either one, he's playing man, or two, he's going to play a zone down here. Because what likely they're not going to have this guy do is try and haul ass to get to a deep, like yeah. some type of deep zone. So you know that this area of the field right there is covered by that guy.
Okay.
Because this guy can't get back there. This guy's at least in some leverage. Now, if you look at the hash, this guy's probably, what, a yard off the hash? This guy's probably 3 yards off the hash. So this guy is way off and inside of number two for that space. So what do I want to do to that? I've got a quarterback who, generally speaking, is really accurate and an area of the field that this guy is letting me leverage to. So if I wanted to throw this ball, I want to throw it outside to that guy, and I want to have him run a short route. So something to keep this corner up, I want him to run that way.
Okay, let's see it.
Okay, let's run this play. So this is a good job by both offense and Park. Freeze. So this is a defensive end. That's a defensive end. We're talking about outside techniques over here. Jacob Park assessed this. We got a good set by or a good pass set by the tackles. They ran him by. What Jacob Park then decided to do, step forward in the pocket, kept his hips still mostly square to line of scrimmage so he can still be in a throwing motion. Play it. Deliver the ball to the outside of number two.
Nice comeback there by 23.
23, excuse me.
Yeah.
So this that's the stuff they were trying to get.
What's he number 23 for? He's a wide receiver.
I don't know.
Come on,
I was number 82 in high school. That's a running back.
Yeah, that's weird, too. Why would you do that?
Numbers are numbers, man. It's all arbitrary.
Yeah, okay.
So
I don't like it, though, but I don't have to like it.
But this is the kind of stuff that Texas was giving Iowa State. And when Campbell was saying they weren't consistently executing it, if you watch play-to-play, every pass route that they were running, there was one of these guys that had some type of advantage, whether it's by leverage or whether it's by man-to-man or man-to-man coverage. There was something there that they could have exploited. They just didn't. And my beef was in the fact that they didn't let Park ever calm down by giving the ball to number 32. And if nothing else, if you're not going to establish a run game, it lets Jacob Park know, all right, cool, I don't have to do everything myself. It gives him the chance to calm down. I don't know the kid. Maybe that wouldn't have worked. But for me, if I'm trying to help a quarterback settle down, I just go, buddy, we're gonna run it 60% of the time. You just do what you have to do.
So
we'll let 32 win.
But I'm under the impression, Jeff, after being around the last few days, like that they just went into that game stubborn. We're not going to be able to run the ball. And they didn't try.
That if that's the case.
That's how I'm interpreting their comments and press conferences and whatnot.
If that's the case, then I think that's it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
That is
Chuck Long and Sage said the same thing to me last night.
That's fear. And if you're letting one of the things that if Texas is gonna give me a look and I take that look for what they want me to do, then I'm playing right into what they want. Because one of the things that the great things about football, I'm gonna put my headset on too.
Yeah, go for it. Make the little switch right here.
So if Texas is going to give me a look and they say, we don't want you to run the ball, and you run the ball anyway and be successful with it, that is the ultimate just uppercut to the jewels.
Yeah.
For Texas.
Like uppercuts to the jewels.
And what it does with the defensive coordinator, it gets them out of their groove. Closer, like over here. I'm going to be closer to Chris.
We're amateur videographers, if you can't tell. Hey, Jeff.
Is this better?
Yeah. Looks good.
So if you're able to do this and you're able to say Texas doesn't want you to run the ball and you're able to run the ball anyway, then it gets a defensive coordinator out of his groove and he starts trying things that aren't necessarily to their game plan and to their soundness. So if you can start running the ball against this, then they're going to have to commit different guys to the box. They're going to have to come back to a four down front and bring more guys inside and leave more one-on-one opportunities. Or they're going to have to slow down a pass rush and not get to Jacob Park so soon. Or not blitz exotically because you're going to run right through it in a run game. So it takes them out of their call if you're able to do what they don't want you to do.
Was Texas's front seven the best we will see the rest of the year?
I would think so. They got one probably and a half first-round draft picks, depending on where
Jefferson and Ford.
Ford's
for sure.
I think Ford's a pretty high level.
I think TCU's really good. It's a different type, though. It's like a developmental type of defensive line.
It's a 4-2-5, and they have a really good defensive end who's a good pass rusher, but I don't think he's like NFL good.
Well,
I think
the difference is between these guys, and, you know, we were down on the field before the game, and Jeff and I went over and specifically were watching Texas warm up just to look at them. And, like, those guys are puppies, and they're huge. Mm-hmm. You know, they're NFL-ready bodies as freshmen and sophomores.
Right.
Whereas, like, a TCU...
They're just scrappy dudes.
They're scrappy dudes who Patterson has developed.
Right.
So I have less fear for the TCU type, even though they may be a little bit more disciplined. I mean, I just... Because of the way Iowa State's offensive line at this point is built. Mm-hmm. They, like you always say, they don't have that road grader type. They're just not there yet.
Yet. They're recruiting a lot of big, strong dudes, Iowa State is, but it's going to take a couple years to get weight and strength and understanding on them.
Now, let me ask you this. So you come up to Saturday. I mean, Iowa State's – we all know the abysmal record against Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a top five team in the country. What's the process this week to get that out of their minds? Because, you know, when I was watching this game, I was thinking, like, normally this is like for an offense, like a burn the tape type of game, but I actually don't think that with this. I feel like some of the things that you just pointed out, there's a lot that they can pick up on and learn from this, grow from this.
I think the biggest thing is it's not in film study, it's in mirror study. Like, mainly the Jacob Park and I think Tom Manning are the two that have to, and whether it's Matt Campbell, whoever's making the decision of, hey, let's let number 10 cool down a little bit. Whoever's making that decision, Jacob Park has to understand that he doesn't have to do everything. I think that's probably the biggest stressor is he's like, hey, I know I'm going to get, they probably went into this game plan knowing they weren't going to run the ball much. So he knew he had to throw a lot. So he thought he had to do everything and they didn't have a great couple reads. And all of a sudden the pressure he put on himself started to spiral. If he can realize and look in the mirror and go like, hey man, I'm good. Like I don't have to do everything. Let's just relax and have some fun, play football. And that's actually a really easy transition out. And the same thing with Manning is he's got to take the same assessment and go, hey, if number 10's getting frustrated, we have to not abandon the run, even if we may not want to do it. We've got to get the ball to number 32 and force feed him.
Is Park the type who could not get frustrated, though? Because, I mean, you didn't watch it on TV, I know. But allegedly, there was a lot of not great body language shown on the sideline with number 10.
Well...
But I asked Campbell about it yesterday, and he's just like, you know, there's nobody who wants to win more than him. Like, it's not a demonstrative thing toward his teammates or coaches.
I think it's just him putting pressure on himself.
So is that – my question is, though, is that inexperience? Is that his sixth start, or is this just who he is and you got to deal with it?
I've never met the kid. I can't make that assessment. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know him personally. I would think by the confidence that he has, if he just – I think it's just unloading pressure and just him saying like, hey – I don't have to do everything. Because I think Baker Mayfield's a good kind of example of what to do.
There's a little bit of Baker Mayfield.
There's a little bit of Baker Mayfield in Park.
I could see Park throwing a flag down on an opposition.
Yeah.
I could see him doing it.
So kind of that competitiveness that you can call it confidence, you can call it arrogance, whatever it is that kind of competitiveness that he has is really good when he also has faith in his teammates. Like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk my shit. Your guys are going to back me up. And if he doesn't feel like if he feels like he has to do more than everything because of whatever the game plan or the read or whatever, and he starts saying, I'm going to have to do so much of this because we're not going to be able to run the ball, then all of a sudden it doesn't happen, and then I still have to keep pressing to get it done. So I don't know if it's necessarily a personality trait that's bad. It's just he's, again, looking in the mirror and going,
I'd rather have a guy like that, personality playing quarterback, than somebody who's passive.
Yes.
I haven't been in the huddle like you have, but I've been around enough quarterbacks to know that generally the guys like that are the ones, the alpha male type, are the ones who have a higher ceiling.
Yeah, I think so. And that guy's, we've seen his ceiling. I'm not, we've seen his ceiling. We've seen him reach towards a ceiling.
We've seen his potential.
We've seen a potential, and we've, you know, when he throws four touchdowns, five touchdowns, whatever it is, and just looks effortless, that's the guy that's mostly there. And it's just when he's not pissing himself off and assembling, like I said, when he's not assembling furniture and trying to fit a screw where it doesn't go. So that's the kind of thing that he's capable of. He just needs to relax and do it.
Did Thursday, I mean, other than the loss, but did it change your outlook on the rest of the season?
Not really.
I'm not talking like win losses, bowl games. I'm talking to just like how good the team could be.
I don't think so. It was more correctable mistakes than it was trending thing. Now, if they come out against Oklahoma and
I kind of don't even if
they
don't lose 56-0,
yeah,
and don't have a bunch of injuries, all I ask for.
Well, if they lay an egg, if they're getting frustrated and not helping themselves out of it, then that's two in a row that you can say, okay, that's, I don't know if that's coincidence or a trend. And then obviously Kansas the next week, but whatever it is, if you continue to do the same thing, then I get pissed off. But if you're not pissed off, but concerned, if you do it one time, bad game, chalk it up. We'll live to play another day.
I would, I think a 28-point spread is crazy for Saturday.
Well, people watch Thursday.
Yeah. Well, I hope I'm right. I'd be disappointed if they go out and just get – I mean, I don't think they're going to win, and I don't think it'll be that close. But if they lose by four touchdowns, I'd be pretty disappointed.
I would be shocked, actually.
Yeah, I don't think they're that bad.
They're not this. That's an aberration to me. And because I haven't seen that level of frustration with a Matt Campbell team since Iowa of last year. That was the last time that they were that
and
unsettled.
That Iowa game last year – was really the turning point.
Mm-hmm.
If you've heard stories about the locker room after the game and Campbell's reaction and whatnot, like it was really a turning point.
Yeah.
That program.
So,
I told Matt this yesterday when I just got done interviewing him for the podcast that I do with him every week, and I told him that Oklahoma. And I mean this. I'd like to get your take on this, and this would be a good place for us to end this show today. But the Oklahoma game last year, I think they lost 26-16. It was something like that. They lost by 10. What, 24-14? Okay, 34-24. Thanks, Jared. That was when I bought into Campbell's program. That game last year. Do you remember it? It was on a Thursday night.
Yep.
They were totally outmanned, and they kept grinding. Like I saw a team where I've seen Iowa State teams. I don't like to say the word quit because there's always guys out there playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen Iowa State teams kind of curl up in the fetal position before and just say, you know what, just get this over with.
With nothing to play for.
Those guys played their asses off in that game.
They were a 75-yard D.D. Westbrook touchdown away from being one score in that
game. Yeah.
I
told Matt this, and I mean it. That was when they won me over. In a loss last year, but they showed me a lot in that loss.
Yeah.
I think this is a great opportunity on Saturday again.
It's a teaching moment, and can you come back? I thought highly of Oklahoma State at the beginning of the year, but not so much. I mean, maybe it's injuries, but this is probably the best
team.
They're
down three offensive starters, two linemen. They're a bit of a shade of what they're supposed to be.
If those guys don't come back, if Oklahoma State's guys don't come back, this is the best team.
One of them's out for the year.
This is the best team that you're going to play left on the schedule. And
what about TCU?
Yeah,
I don't think TCU is better than Oklahoma.
They're not better than Oklahoma.
But I think TCU has proven to be better than Oklahoma State. I mean, they beat them.
Right. But what I was saying with Oklahoma is the best team left in your schedule, and it's the hardest place to play because TCU is going to be at home. So this is your hardest game left in the schedule. If you roll over and die, then that steps back into what my senior year was and the 4 years after that is you are accepting the fact that it's not going to happen. And that – burn my giblets.
I don't think that's going to happen on Saturday.
That's what I want to see. Is I want to see stepping back and correcting mistakes that were correctable and just going out and having fun playing football.
Jeff Woody, thanks to our sponsor, Agrigold. And I'm excited too, for those watching on the stream, we're currently working on, I said this a couple weeks ago, but some real nice enhancements that's going to make the video and whatnot look a lot better going forward. We're working on the production aspect of this, and everybody's making a great investment to it because we believe in the future of this program. So thanks for watching. For our podcast listeners, hope you understood what Jeff was talking about when he was up there.
Tweet me questions.
Yeah, tweet Jeff questions for next week. You guys can always do that, and we'll compile them, and we can ask them during the program and make it more of a user interactive.
And if I've got time during the day, I might even shoot back a response at some point.
There you go.
Maybe.
Thanks to Agrigold. Thanks to our football content sponsor. That is Iowa Pork, the Iowa Pork Producers. We love our friends over there. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, 10:45 on Tuesday. We've got Stands and Fits coming up tonight. Little podcast action presented by Exile. Forecast coming up on Thursday.
Just Saturday, another game watch week. Party.
Game watch. Oh, thanks for the reminder.
You're welcome.
Game watch on Thursday. Jeez.
Come on, Chris.
The game watch is on Saturday.
The game,
11
is, the game is on Saturday. The game watch is also probably concurrent with the game.
Whiskey River in Ankeny. We're going to start doing these for all road games and all road basketball games as well.
Fun.
So we're going to try and start something big here, and hopefully it's a tradition that people can utilize
for
years to come. All right. See you guys. Take care.